Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Of course, myself and Pastor said a lot, so much of things today, and I think everything that he has said, there are hints of what will be said in this meeting. You will find us that we are revolving around the same thing, but with different flavor, and it's going to bring the same understanding into our heart. That is very, very critical, and that is very, very important to us. Praise God. So Pastor said so many things that has formed the bedrock in which we are going to build this meeting. Those who will come, those who are already here, for we are, I know that by the evening, men will begin to come in. But let me start from the text of Pastor Dele Olubi, and that is the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. That is a very critical thing. And I think that was the theme of what Pastor was emphasizing yesterday. Is very, very significant. If a ministry gift is operating not after the things that pertains God, for the reason why a priest is ordained among men or is taken among men is basically because of two things. He has vertical and horizontal relationship. Vertical and horizontal fellowships. He has fellowship with God, and he has also fellowship with men. Praise God. So he has the capacity and potential to represent men before God, and he can also accurately represent God before men. Praise God. So when the Bible is speaking that men were taken, the high priests were taken among men to represent, to speak about the things that pertains God, is important that we must take note of the ministry gift who are not speaking things that pertains God. For Satan has come with another device, and the device is that they begin to speak about the things that pertains man instead of things that pertains God. The word pertains is the issues that concerns, that are of concern to God. The issues that are of concern to God. So, in other words, speaking in that direction, an high priest must come up to speak on the issue that is of concern unto God to man. Do you understand that? Is that clear? I think that is simple enough. Praise God. So, in other words, this meeting is also going to unveil the true nature of what who a ministry gift is. Is that clear? It's going to unveil to us the true nature, the characteristic, the habit, the watchman, the trust. Yes, that's the word. The trust. T-H-R-U-S-T. Of a ministry gift. It's going to unveil unto us the trust. What are the mandate, the key mandate of the ministry gift unto us? So that when we see a ministry gift, we will recognize. And when we see one, ministry gift is not measured by the number of men that he pastors. Can I say that again? A ministry gift is not measured by the number of congregants It is not the number of people that fellowship in your church that makes you a ministry man. A ministry gift. What makes you a ministry gift is, are you speaking the things that pertains to God? The things that are of concern. Listen, the word concern is very critical. Because there are issues that is of concern unto God about men. And so, it is of necessity for us to come into the platform to begin to declare those things. Okay, now, he said, who can ask, and he said that may offer both gift and sacrifice for sins. Now, Pastor D was also talking about it's an act. Now, that could be an act of omission. It could also be an act of what? Commission. An act of omission. An act of commission. Omission of certain things that are very salient, very critical and important unto God. You understand? You deliberately omitted it. You're not working in it. It's no longer an oversight to you. It's an omission. But God does not also spare the sin of omission. Hey, praise God. He does not spare the sins of omission. When we talk about an act is could be an omission. It could be also a commission. Now, the commissioning aspect of a sin is when you know a thing. The Bible said that he that knew how to do good and do it not, it is counted as a sin unto him. Now, there are some people that have been brought in. They have been brought into light. They have fellowship with light. But because of the greed of their heart, because of their belly, they have made God to become their belly. Because of their belly, they deliberately, there is a commissioning of an act that is not of concern unto God. So, that is also a sin. So, in other words, when Pastor D was talking about sin is not a major issue, I understand the language at which he was speaking to. He was not saying that sin was not an issue. But especially, he was saying that all those things that you fellowship with, you still lie, you still commit fornication. They are minute concerning the issue of this commission. Do you understand that now? They are very, very minute. They are not as important as being an antichrist. Now, Pastor was talking about somebody who is an antichrist yesterday. An antichrist is somebody who deliberately walks against the will of God. He knows the will of God and he deliberately walks against the will of God. He does not want to walk in line with the will of God. That person is who is an antichrist. Praise God. So we have many of them. And by reason thereof, he hoped as for him, for the people. So also for himself. Now, for people and for himself, we will get into that. To offer for sin, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I want us to quickly follow up with me because we may not actually get the grasp and understand the operation of the priesthood of Christ as it affects us as a church without first and foremost giving a little summary about the Levitical priesthood. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It is very, very important for us to know, to really understand, because the Levitical priesthood is a bedrock in which other priesthoods rests. Praise God. In which other priesthood rests. It is a pattern. It is a shadow. It is, God is speaking of the things to come. So we really need to have a great understanding of this priesthood of Levitical before we Exodus 28, verse 3, and then I read verse 41. He said, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garment to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Verse 41. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him. Now, Aaron and his sons is a pattern. It's also a shadow. Praise God. And his son, and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the what? In the priest's office. There are three critical words that we must take note here: the word anointing, the word consecration, and the word sanctification. Praise God.
Amen.
When he was talking about anointing, he was talking about empowerment. Praise God. That's what anointing does. It empowers. It's a grace that gives you capacity to be effective in the things of God. Anointing is a grace. Okay? So, it's an empowerment. In other words, when Aaron is being brought into that priesthood, they were empowered. And I will talk about those things in which they used to empower them, so that we will understand what is our inheritance, even in this end time. Then he also talked about consecrate them. In other words, he was talking about, I am honing them. I will hone them. They are mine. Hone them. Hone them. I'm going to hone them. They are not, they don't belong to anybody. I am the one who owns them. They are mine. They are my inheritance. Levites are mine. Then when he also talk about sanctify them, he was also talking about the peculiarity of the person of that calling. The peculiar people. Sanctify them. In other words, they must be separated from men. Now, separation from men does not necessarily talk about taking them into monastery. Okay? It's not taking them from the monastery. Of course, they were not taken to the monastery, but they were secluded by the things that they could not partake. There are certain things that priests must not do. There are certain food that priests cannot eat. There are certain drinks that priests cannot drink. There are certain dresses that priests cannot wear. There are certain attitudes that priests must have. That is when he was saying that sanctify them. Let them become different from other people. Let them not be like others. They must become different from other people. Why? Because they are peculiar. The peculiarity of this calling is as a result of what has made them to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, but unfortunately, we discover that Levitical priesthood is very, 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 very limited in scope, limited in operation. It was a tribal thing. It was a tribal thing. Not all the Israelites were permitted to come in into God. And the plan of God is for all to come in. Because even God himself made it known. He said, I wish that all may become prophets. Praise God. But it was limited in scope. It was a tribal thing. It was not broad. It does not give entrance to other people. There are people that could not come in. Listen, let me quickly say this. There is a difference between a Levite and a priest. Hello, church. Levite is a tribe, but he has potential to be a priest. Levite does not necessarily mean a priest. You can be a Levite and yet you have not come into priesthood. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, when he's talking about Levitical, he was talking about tribe that have potential to come into that place of office where the minister has what? Has priests. As priests. Praise God. In number 8:14, he said, thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be what? They shall be mine. Thus, he gave a prescription. Thus shalt thou separate the Levite from among the children of Israel, and the Levite shall be mine. In other words, because they are his, they have become the servant of tabernacle. Now,
The Levitical priests are essentially the servant of tabernacle. Pastor just made a very pronounced, a very powerful statement. That, and I confirmed that in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 8, that over, right from the day when the Ark of Covenant was taken away, there was no priest. Even Samuel, as powerful as Samuel was, he was not allowed to minister even in the tabernacle. He will come from Ramah, his house, make sacrifice, and we go back. He will come from Ramah, make sacrifice, and go back. Not even in the temple, because he was not from that tribe. Praise the Lord. And we discovered that over 22 and a half years, when the Ark of Covenant was taken away, there was nothing, nobody was permitted to enter into tabernacle. Nobody. When the Ark will not allow the people to rest, the Philistine, you remember the story of Dagon and Ark. They made sacrifice, an offering sacrifice to carry that. They carry it to a tribe. That tribe also called for Levites. That Levites should come and carry their ark. And the Levite came and they carried the ark to another place before they even take it to the house of Abinadab. For almost about 23 years, the ark was roaming around. Praise God. Until David came, he became king. Hallelujah. So now, when you begin to see all this end, it's pointing onto something that is coming up. Because we do know that even David was not from the household of Judah. From the house of Levi, sorry. He was from Judah. He was a Judah. He was not from Levi. He was not a Levite. But we saw the burning and the ordination of a priest in that man so much more that he looked at it. Yes, we must. Of course, at a point in time, he said, will I build a house for myself without building the house for God? He said, no, I will not build a house for myself. I build a house for God. For there is no place, there is no dwelling for God. God must have a dwelling place. And God appeared to him. He said, yes, I've seen your heart. I've seen your heart. Praise God. So it is very, very important for us to know that it was a limited operation. People who would have even, you can imagine the Samuel, the like of Samuel. The Bible said that the word of that man never fall to ground. Listen, when the Bible talks about the consummation of the renewal of Old Testament and the bringing in of a New Testament, we must understand the platform that it was talking about. After all, he said, do you think I have come to cancel the law? He said, no, I have not. All I have come to do is to do what? Is to fulfill the law. Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the law. So when people are saying this and that, it's just because they lack understanding. They don't know what, they don't know exactly what Christ has come to do. The Holy Spirit will help us. If God permits, we will get there and there will be unveiling of this truth so that men will stop walking in half-truth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So we see that they are servants of what? Of the tabernacle. They were owned by God, and all their services is unto God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it was a service life. And that this is what, listen to this. You won't understand the writing of Paul until you understand the Old Testament. Everything that Paul wrote is from the Old. Praise God. When he was talking in the book of Romans chapter 12, let us therefore, I beseech you therefore, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy, as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is what your reasonable, he was talking on the context of priesthood. Praise God. He was talking on the in the context of priesthood. Because we see that what they do, what the Levitican do all of the time is the life of sacrifice. Continuous sacrifice. Listen, there are they that dwell in the temple. That thing that we used to say, I will dwell in the temple of the Lord. Is a conversion of a priest. You remember Samuel? What the work that Samuel was doing was the same work that Hophni and Phinehas are supposed to be doing. Do you understand? Because they are Levites. But they brought a house boy. They brought a house boy. It's you. And the house boy took over the government from them. Praise God. That's why you must be very careful the way you treat house, this house help. They will take over your government. It has always been like that. Praise God. Especially when you are not training your own children. Everything. Kafilat. They are the ones that do house guests. Kafilat. Go and wash. What's their name again? Kudirat. Have you washed that thing? Have you swept the floor? And so on with that funny names. Praise God. Yeah. Do you understand? Yeah. I'm not saying we should not, but we should also take time to train our children. We must not behave like Eli. Eli is not taking time to bring up his own. He was busy bringing up Samuel. And so when Samuel heard the voice of God, he perceived that God was speaking. He said, when he called again, tell him, speak, for thy servant hears. For the young boy, he was not from Levi. Nobody taught him that. So he said, he was even afraid, scared to speak the word of God until they threatened him again. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that is the pattern of the Levitical order. Now, I've said three critical things. Number one, limited in scope. It was a tribal thing. Men were not permitted to be part of it, irrespective of the grace and anointing and the power of revelation that you have. You cannot even minister in the tabernacle except you come from that family. That's a limitation to that scope. I've also spoken that most importantly, which is a pattern to the church, is that they are servants of the church. They are servants of the tabernacle. They are the dweller. They are those who dwell in the tabernacle. So when we say that, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore, we should take note of what we are saying, because of course we are not sleeping in the house of the Lord because there is no candle. Who even said that there is no candle to burn? It's not because you don't understand the burning of the candle. Who even said there is no incense to burn? I think Pastor was talking about it yesterday, that men have stopped praying. They don't even pray for the will of God again. That is what we're supposed to be doing on daily basis. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That is what we're supposed to be doing on daily basis. I remember when we were growing up, I don't know the night that we don't meet in the brother's house to pray. It's a ritual thing. We will always meet. We will always meet in one house of a brother. In one house of the brother to pray. Are you still doing that? And you say you are a priest. Then I put a question mark to your priesthood. Because it's a functionality. It's not priesthood today. It's no longer an office. It's a person. It is a person. It is a life. It is a lifestyle. So you need to come into that lifestyle before we can say, oh yeah, this is a priest. Person. Praise God. Let me quickly run. Let me run. I have to run. Now, Christ priesthood. Then, another thing that is very important, which of course as it was mentioned yesterday, it was also mentioned today, is that Levitical priesthood was inaugurated by the law of Moses. Praise God. Levitical priesthood was inaugurated by the law of Moses. Now, I don't want to go into the content of that inauguration, but if God permits, I have the privilege to come to talk again, maybe when we discuss the issue of tabernacle, we will look at that aspect of inauguration of the content of the law and see how relevant it is unto the emerging Christian, so that we can learn from it. So it was inaugurated by the law. But listen to this. But the priesthood of Christ, when we talk about the priesthood of Christ, we are not talking about the priest, Christ as a priest or as our high priest alone, but we are also talking about the priesthood which Christ has bestowed on us, the church. Do you understand? So I want you to understand, when I say the priesthood of Christ, it's a plural. I'm using a plural word for you, which combine Christ as the head of the church and those of us that are the church, so that we will understand that the priesthood of Christ is a combination of Christ the high priest and you, members of the body. So, do you understand that? Is that clear enough? No. So, it comprises of Christ, who is the head of the church, who is the high priest, and those of us who are his priests. Now, we are his priests because we are delegated authority. We are under the same oath that inaugurated Christ, that swore unto him that thou art priest forevermore after the order of Melchizedek. And I will show you a scripture that confirms our inclusion in that order. Praise God. Because it is important for us to know that we are also included in that order. Praise God. Now, it's Hebrews 7:28. Look at... no problem. I'm not going to wait for you. He said, for the Lord maketh men high priests. Thank you, John, Lord. Which have infirmity. For the Lord maketh men high priest, which have infirmity. But the word of the host, which was since the law. Now, Pastor was talking about before the foundation. And from the foundation. Now, they said, the word of the host, which was since the law. Since the law. Before the existence of the law, okay? Before the inauguration of the law, an oath was made. Where did this oath made? At what point did God make this oath unto him? The oath was made with Abraham. Praise God. The oath was made unto Abraham. And it was in this oath that we find Christ, who was also in the loins of Abraham. Listen, there are three patterns of people that were in Abraham at that particular point when the oath was being made. We have the Levitical priest. We have Christ the high priest, or we have the priesthood of Christ, which also included us. Do you understand that now? Because when I say the priesthood of Christ, I'm talking of Christ, the high priest, and the church. Okay? So, we have three categories of men. We have the Levitical priesthood. We also have the priesthood of Christ, which was fashioned after the order of Melchizedek when he was making that oath. Praise God. Now, a very significant event is, and it's very, very, okay, thank you, Holy Ghost. Very, very important. The Bible says that how is it that Abraham recognized that personality who stepped out of eternity and came into time of man, and Abraham could pick him and recognize him? Oh yeah. That means that there have always been a fellowship. There is a knowing between two of them. There is a knowing. He has a knowledge of this person. This person must have visited him over and again. But for the first time, he stepped into eternity to make himself manifest unto all men. And the Bible said that Abraham gave him tithe. Praise God. Hallelujah. Abraham gave him what? Tithe. And the Bible records that even they that are dead, they receive what? Tithe of men. How much more those that are after the order of what? Of Melchizedek. Do you understand? Let me get that scripture. I think it's in the book of Hebrews chapter 7. I read from verse 21. He said, for those priests were made
without an oath. But this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So much was Jesus made a surety of the better covenant. And they truly were made, were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to say to the uttermost, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever live to make intercession, for such an high priest become us. Now, when he said become us, he was talking of the humanity of Christ. Do you understand? He was talking about the humanity of Christ. Such an high priest become us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinner, and made higher than the heavens. Who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first. Now, let me go to chapter 8 of it. Where Paul was talking about that tithe. Was it in Hebrews 7? Verse 4, please. Verse 1. Okay. Now, he said, oh yes. He said, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth, part of all, first being interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that, also king of Salem. Now, listen to this. They call him, I want to look at this Melchizedek. He said, interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that, also king of Salem. Salem talks about peace, which is also king of peace. The description of that person fit into the mold of either Christ or God himself. Praise God. The description of that person, that called Melchizedek, fit in, because nobody had this quality. Nobody is addressed this name. It's either God himself that came, or the Lord Jesus Christ that came to Abraham. But that's not where I am going. Now, he said, without father, look at that description. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days, no, nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided the priest continually. Now, consider how great this man, yes, was, unto whom even Patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoil. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Now, you have seen Leviticus. Levitical priesthood, who came out of the loins of Abraham. Now, but whose descent is not counted from... But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed. And here men that die, look at that. Here men that die receive what? Tithes. He was talking of Levitical priesthood. Here men that die receive tithes. The lover that died received tithe. He said, but dear, he received them of whom it is witness that he lived. Of whom? Who are those that he witnessed about? Christ and his priest. And we are that priest. And he received him. Somebody asked me a question on Facebook and I answered him. He said, why is it that Abraham paid tithe once? I paid tithe to Melchizedek. I said, there was no priest at that time. And the first time the priest appeared in the scene, he recognized him. And he paid tithe to him because the priest was on ground. Praise God. I said, if priest had abided, if priest was around, Abraham was the priest at that time. There was no any greater priest at that particular point in time than Abraham. Who will Abraham pay tithe to? The guy did not have anything to say again. He said, you have not answered my question. I said, which question again did you ask? You said, you asked me why did Abraham pay tithe once. And I've told you that he paid tithe
Of course, it took me about 3 days. I needed to pray. I said, God, I don't know how to answer this person. I was just in the office, and the Holy Spirit just dropped it down. I said, yay, this is truth. You know when the truth is revealed to you, you have a witness that this is the truth. So people that are saying that tithe, the reason why Abraham paid tithe once is just because there was no priest at that time who will receive tithe from Abraham. He was the only priest. And the fourth day, a priest appeared on the scene. Who was other than him? He paid tithe. So if we are children of Abraham, we must do the work of Abraham. We must walk in the path and in the pattern of Abraham. We must walk in the way of Abraham. So all this noise about it's just because they don't know the scripture. They are Pharisees. They like their life. Praise God. That's the problem. That's the problem. But let me continue with my thought. And so the oath was with Abraham. Now listen to this. Why was this oath made with Abraham? Because it's also very important. All of us, sometimes occasionally, we come to the place of making oath and say, God, no, that was not the way Abraham did it. The oath was made with Abraham because Abraham obliged God with his request, which was a pattern of redemption order. God asked Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, take him for a living sacrifice for me. And Abraham did not hesitate, and he went to Mount Moriah. And the Bible said that there, after he laid his hand upon Isaac, God said, lay not your hands upon the lad. Now I know that thou lovest me. By myself have I sworn, in blessing I will bless, in multiplication I will multiply, and by this are the generations of the earth shall be blessed. Listen, the blessing that God was talking about is not the blessings of prosperity. It's not the blessing of riches. It's not the blessings of car. He was talking about the blessing of a seed, which was after the order of Christ. And it was that seed that brought many seeds. You are one of the seed. Praise God. I am one of the seed. That was what the oath that was sown unto Abraham brought unto each and every one of us. So by this reason, we enter into Levitical priesthood. I mean, we enter into Melchizedek priesthood by the reason of oath. Ours is not law. It's not age on law. It's not by ritual. It's not by washing. It's not by sacrifices of lamb. My wife keep on asking me, she was still asking me this morning, I want you to give me a description of how the altar looked like. With that sacrifice, I said, I don't have answer for it. He said, they will sprinkle blood every day. They will sprinkle blood. Then, but it occurred to me that sacrifice is once in a year. All that sacrifice that they made is not a blood sacrifice. Praise God. It's not a blood sacrifice. But we see, when they talk about, there is a sacrifice that is a yeast sacrifice. It's not, it does not have the context of the blood. Do you understand? So when they do that kind of thing, it does not come with blood. But in a year, it must always come with blood. It must be a blood sacrifice. Praise the name of the Lord. So we have a continuous priesthood that was bestowed on us after the order of Melchizedek. Praise God. Please let me quickly say two or three things, and I will begin to round up. Praise God. Now, who is a priest? It's very important for us to know who a priest is. Priest is a Greek word for presbyter. Okay? Most often they call them elder. They are called elder. They are the elder. They are the superintendent. Okay? They call them provost. They call them provost. Now, what they do is that to make sure that things are put in order. The house of God is in order. Things are kept in an order. That's why we must not quickly assume that priesthood is an office in the New Testament. Praise God. Anybody could occupy it and make sure, come to the church, oh, they have not done this. You are doing the priesthood work. Do you understand that? You are doing, and Pastor said it yesterday, it does not limit it to intercession alone. Oh, no, no, this thing is not properly arranged. Arrange it. That's the work of a priest. They make sure that things are done accordingly, in due order. They are the one who enforce order in the church. They are the one who make sure that things are done according to the pattern that was shown to Moses in heaven. Because there is a particular pattern that was revealed unto Moses in which tabernacle must be built. And so when he noticed that those things are not according to the pattern, he began to point to it. Do this, do this, do this. And sometimes you look at him, you call him overzealous. Many of you must have said that kind of things to me. Praise God. Do you understand? It's just because the priest will make sure that things are done in due order. Unconsciously. They don't come to the house of their father and look at it and see that the house of the father is not kept. No, you are not a priest. When you feel unconcerned about things like that, you are not a priest. You are not yet working there. You are not yet there. He said, it's not my work. I'm not an usher. It's an usher. I came in here. That place was empty. I called him. I almost bite him. I said, why are you keeping this thing? He said, he wanted to explain. I said, I don't want explanation. Go and arrange it. He said, yes, sir. And as soon as he arranged it, the place was filled. Praise God. The place was filled. Those are the little things that is required of anyone called priest. Now, so a priest is a presbyter. He's an individual. Yes. He's an individual who performs a sacred assignment on behalf of men through mediatory rule. Praise God. Now, we read that in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 2. Now, a priest is an elder representing God unto man and representing man unto God. Now, there is no way you can represent God. Listen, I ask myself, when you say that you are interceding for people, you must understand what the need of that person is all about before you can accurately represent him before God. Do you understand what I'm saying? For example, there are times when I cry over some of my nieces who are yet to know Christ. I just wake up, I started crying. Lord, for them. And I know that their salvation is sealed. It's just a question of time. Some of them will get saved when they get to Jerusalem, when they get to Saudi Arabia. Praise God. That is where Christ will appear to some of them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that is, he is a man who intercedes for others, who pray, who take the guard. He has the knowledge of man. He also has the knowledge of God. Now, I've said it again and again, that priesthood, now, most importantly, please take note of this. Priesthood is a shadow of heavenly activities. Hello, church. Maybe you have been asking yourself, what are we going to be doing in heaven? When some people say that we have mansion in heaven, this and that and so on. Do you think that God is calling you into heaven to sleep? Or do you think it's a jolly thing that, I don't know, this mentality of Gentiles has beclouded our scriptural sense of reasoning. Now, I said, priesthood is a shadow of heavenly activities. In other words, it is not just an earthly exercise, but a revealed activities of the work of saying in heaven. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. Now, he said, and the priest who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, hear ye that thou make all things according to the pattern swear to thee in the mountain. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let me shock you. Legally speaking, we are all priests. What did I say? Legally speaking, we are all priests. But technically speaking, yes, I assume that everybody here is born again. Legally speaking, if you are born again, you are all priests.
But technically speaking, we have not come, most of us have not come into that vacant position of priesthood. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Technically speaking, I've told you the foundation of it at the beginning. Levite family. Not all Levites are priests. So we are all Levites in the order of New Testament. But we are journeying into becoming a priest in that same order. Now, when they said priests are taken among men, they are taken among Levites. Do you understand? They are taken among Levites, not in the Old Testament context, not among the Jews, all the Jews. Why? Because there is a prescription, as a matter of fact, Numbers prescribed, a priest must be age of 33, but age is no longer a restriction in our days. A priest must not have blemish in his body, but that is not our problem in this age. For yea, Christ has cleansed all our unrighteousness, he has purged all our iniquities. But in the area of our activities and maturity, yes, in the area of our behavior and our carriages, we are yet to come into that place called priest. Galatians chapter 4, can you give me verse 1 and 2? 4, please. Look at what the Bible says. Quickly, please. Galatians 4. He said, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of what? Of all. Verse 2. But he is under what? Tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. The appointed time of the father is when he has come into maturity. When he has been able to know between his left and his right. How can you ask me that those guys that write things on the Facebook are priests? How can you tell me that? Am I saying they are not born again? No, I'm not saying that. They are all born again. Some of them are in that state as a result of zeal without knowledge. Do you understand? So they still really need to come into maturity. So when we are talking about praying, technically speaking, it's a journey. It's a procedure. We are journeying into it. It's like coming into perfection that we talked about the previous year. Until we come into it, we have not assumed the office of the priest. But the essence of this program is for each and every one of us is to come into priest. Praise God. Now, listen. Let me take the time. What time am I supposed to close? Praise God. Do you understand? Now, listen to this. We are journeying into it. It's a place of priesthood is a knowledge. Priesthood is responsibility. Priesthood is capacity. Priesthood is competence. Priesthood is skill. Those are the things that you find in priests. Now listen, in the book of Leviticus that we read previously, I read from the book of Numbers in chapter 28, I read verse 41 of it unto us, where he said that empower them. He gave them the law, which was a blessing unto people. He also gave them the census, which was also the instrument of life and death. Hey, church, do you understand? He gave them the censer. That censer was an instrument of what? Life and death. When they read the law unto them, yearly basis, that law sustained them for the next 1 year.
Yeah.
It sustained them for the next 1 year. But when they come with their censer, that censer have capacity to provoke death. Do you remember what happened in the book of Numbers in chapter 16? He said, all of you, when Datan, Korah, he said, bring your censer. And 52 men came with their censer. He said, today we will know
those that the Lord has accepted. Priests are the order of censors. And that censor could bring life and it could also bring death. Will you hand over something to a tithe? You will not. You will not. And that is the reason Paul was talking about coming into maturity. Coming into maturity. The Bible was talking about this issue of maturity. I think Pastor read that scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11. He said he has chosen. Can you quickly give me please? And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Continue. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Continue. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Hey, praise God. In other words, there is what we call the unity of the faith. Now, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen, technically speaking, scripturally speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ has not come up as a priest until he reached that age. Though that has been cancelled. Age does not count. What is counting or counted unto you, unto the church, is your maturity. How mature are you? How knowledgeable are you? How skilled are you? Can you handle censor? Can you operate with censor? If they place rod of authority into your hand, how are you going to use it? Some of us will become head of fellowship in our NYC. They are calling us Papa. And they must fetch water for us. Okay, Papa, they must. In fact, some of you, you have guests who serve you. Praise God. I wonder when you are pastoring big churches. I don't know who will serve you. Praise God. You will call an aged man like me to come and pour water in your hands. Because you are a Papa. Maturity. 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 You can't claim to be a priest until you come into that stage of maturity. It takes a mature person to come into priesthood. And I'm trusting God. There is so much to say, but there is no time for it. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. But by the time the order of the templates of tabernacle and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because listen to this. When we talk about sacrifice of Christ, they are in three phases of sacrifices. They were divided into three phases. The first sacrifice is what we see in the book of Philippians chapter 2. The Bible says that he humbled himself. That's the sacrifice. He humbled himself. Can you give me that scripture? He humbled himself and he became man. Ah, that is the greatest of all. That divinity become man. And you don't know how fully this man was. Because many of us think that he was not a man. Look at it. But made himself of no reputation. And took upon the form of a servant. Not even a man. Of a servant. And that is one of the characteristics of a priest. A priest as an individual who has been pulverized. He has been pulverized. He has gone to the deep. And he has been saved by the truth. Praise God. He has seen, he has gone into the depth of the heart and he has been exhumed out of that depth. He can handle censor. He can handle the truth. Praise God. And was made in the likeness of men. Listen, the likeness of Jesus Christ, because see the likeness of men when he saw death in the Garden of Gethsemane. Praise God. At that particular point in time, anything called divinity was taken away from Christ. Anything called divinity was taken away from Christ. And he saw death. He began to tremble. The Bible said that he trembled. And he began to plead. Can you let this cup pass over me? Yea, not as I will. That's a man talking. He was not a carnal person. He was talking as somebody who has humanity. There is a difference between humanity and carnality. He was talking like somebody who is humanity, human being. Can I go through this? If this is possible, let this cup be over me. And he said, yeah, not as I will, but as thou will, O God. As thou will, O God. As thou will, O God. That was how he was talking. And the Bible said, right there, the angel came and he ministered strength unto him. And he came in that strength into the pilot. Praise God. And when he got into Pilate, listen to this. It was not Jude that killed Jesus. It was the priest that killed Jesus. Praise God. It was who killed Jesus? It was priest. If it was Jude, it wouldn't have been an acceptable offering. But Jude needed to kill him so that offering would be accepted. So it was Jude that offered him as a sacrifice. The priest that offered him as a sacrifice. So when they handed him over, they said, hang him. And his case was decided.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299. Or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our Men of Spirit Field Meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday Meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.